book of Titus, chapter 2, hear now the word of our Lord. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to each of you fathers out there and grandfathers. And I want to talk today about the role of a Christian father. It's a deviation from what we normally delve into here at the Bible Forum. But being that it's Father's Day, I felt like it would be appropriate if we looked at this subject one more time, because the role and the responsibility of a father, much more even a Christian father, cannot be overstressed. To me, it is seen in the fact that God in the Scripture is even referred to as our Father. And even in the secular world, it's becoming more and more notice that the father role is important. You're starting to see more books and things written about the importance of the father. And something that has caught me off guard is even the importance of older fathers and older children and grandfathers. I was not prepared for the responsibility and the impact that I would have as a grandfather on my grandchildren. So it's an important role. However, today, the average American father is a frustrated individual. And this is not without reason, because in today's society and in today's culture, family responsibilities and earning a living tend to be at enmity with one another. It's a tough assignment. It's a delicate balance to be a good father and yet be out in the world and earn a living. Unfortunately, our culture does little to help fathers in their role. And so today I want to speak about it because it is so important. There is a book that I wished all fathers could read. It was written by a man named Pierre Mornell. And don't be put off by the title. The title of his book is Passive Men, Wild Women. And in the introduction of that book, Mornell says this, quote, "Over the last few years, I have seen in my office hundreds of men that are very successful, articulate, and intelligent in their work, but ineffective, inarticulate and unsuccessful in relation to their wives and children. They are passive to their children, and this passivity and retreat from their role as father drives women wild. Not too many years ago, when Art Linkletter was on TV and he always was interviewing all those little kids, he had some kids up there that were 4 and 5 years old, and he asked this little boy, "What is a father?" And the little boy said, "A father is a man that wants to help, but he just can't." Well, the problem is that men, fathers, tend to be weak at home, but strong at work. They're untrained at home in their role and their responsibility. They're weak. They tend to fail there. While over here in the job, they're trained to do it. And so they have success over here. Over here, they get bad-mouthed because they're doing a poor job. Over here, they get more and more accolades because they're doing a good job and they're praised there. Consequently, at home, they spend less and less time. And they spend more and more time over here on the job. And things get worse and worse at home. And they get better and better on the job. And as a culture, we are developing leaders everywhere. In business, in church, in government, in charitable organizations, but we are developing few fathers. And yet, God has given us the responsibility as fathers to bring our children up correctly, and it continues even into adulthood. So this morning, let's turn to the scripture and see what we find that will be useful to our responsibility as fathers. If you will, take your Bibles and open to Psalms, the 78th chapter of the book of Psalms, page 795 in the Companion Bible. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Fathers, notice, it does not say mothers. He commands fathers in verse 5 to make known to the children that these children may set their hope in God. It seldom works for mom to be dragging the kids to church and Sunday school while father stays home and mows the lawn. So here, fathers, we see number one, number uno in our responsibility. We are to make known to your children the commandments of God. And the obvious thing is you better understand it, because you can't impart it if you don't. But the question is, of course, how do we fulfill this role as a father? Now, I I don't want to hang a guilt trip on anyone this morning. Hopefully, just guidance. But I have 8 different things that come from Scripture that I suggest for your consideration as you deal with your children in this crucial role. The first thing that I would suggest for your thinking, number one, would be a strong priority system. If you will, turn to Philippians, the 2nd chapter, page 1776. Philippians chapter 2, and we'll go down to verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. You must purpose to do, to be a good father. You must place it high on your list of importance, knowing that it is of God. Why is that? It's because priorities and objectives always determine outcome. I saw a definition of a fanatic not too long ago. It said, a fanatic is one who redoubles his effort after he's lost sight of his goals. You see, without priorities, you concentrate on motion. And the motion is just going around in circles. It's like a dog chasing his tail. So you have a responsibility, and you need to put that responsibility high on your list of priorities if you're going to be successful as a father. Number two, for your thinking, Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 5, back up one book, page 1769, is Ephesians chapter 5. Go down to verse 25. It's a sharp command. Husbands, love your wives. The problem with a lot of delinquent kids in America today is the breakdown of the marriage. When the marriage goes, then the home goes. The main thing that your children want from you as a father is for you to love their mother. This is more important than even number one that I gave you. Children want you to love your their mother. And that is the strength of a good Christian home. Number three, I would put out for your thinking, is to improve your parental abilities. You don't need to turn there, but Proverbs 22:6 says, it says, train up a child in the way he should be, or the way he should go. It's easy to become a father, but difficult psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually. And these kids, unfortunately, they don't come out with an instruction tag hooked on their toe. There are no crash courses in fatherhood 101. The job of a role of a father is especially hard in today's culture because there are not a lot of good role models to look at, not a lot of good templates around. You may have to get some books, some records. You may have to talk to those fathers that are successful if you're going to improve your parental abilities. Number four, guard your attitude. Turn to Philippians, the next book over, Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, page 1779. chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. You are not what you think you are, what you think you are. And if you go back in the verse before this, you'll see that if you think on these things, you have a peace that passes understanding. And that carries over into the home. Attitude has everything to do with your position in the family. Your attitude and your approach to your children as a father sets the stage in the home. You can't always have your shorts in a bunch griping at the wife. She, in turn, will ream out the dog. The kids take it out on the dog's tail. The dog bites the cat. What do you got? You just got chaos. If you don't have an attitude, a good attitude, you have chaos in your home. So number four is guard your attitude. Think on those things that we find here in Philippians, and you'll have a peace that passes understanding, and it carries over into your home. Number five that I would suggest for your thinking is to communicate your instruction. Communicate your concern. Communicate your care in love. Go back to Ephesians chapter 6. Page 1769. Ephesians 6, verse 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you can go to Colossians, and we won't go there, but it says there the same thing, lest you discourage them. You can't take the attitude with your children, I'm going to beat your two eyes into one. I'm going to knock your head clean off. Violence, slamming them up against the wall. Discipline and instruction in the home must not provoke your children to wrath. Your discipline and your care and your instruction has got to be like a velvet-covered brick. Soft, but hard and consistent. Number six, you must spend time and listen. It takes time to be a good father. There was a study at Cornell University a few years ago, and they studied a large group of men, and those men spent an average of 37.7 seconds with their interacting with their children on a daily basis. That just won't work. It takes time. Not necessarily more or loads of time, but it takes time, good time. I have a friend, JT, and I said, JT, what are you going to give your boys for Christmas this year? He said, I'm going to give them a piece of paper. I said, a piece of paper? I said, that's a biggie. Well, he said, I've written on that piece of paper that my boys can come to me and tell me a project that they like to do every week. At least once a week, I'll do anything they want to do. They want to go fishing, we go fishing. They want to play ball, we play ball. They want to go to the ballet, we go to the ballet. Once a week, that's what he gave his boys for Christmas. He had three boys. So he had three projects every week that he was bound to do. But you know what? He was a good father. His boys turned out to be pretty good boys. You've got to be interested in their interest, get in their mind, get in their skin, and listen. This is why dogs are good. I read an essay by a little boy about third grade, and he said, "My dog Jib does not say do like my mother says. He doesn't say don't do like my father says, or stop like my big brother says. My dog just sits quietly and listens to me, and I like him, and he likes me." And so you have to listen to what your children have to say if you're going to fulfill your responsibility as father. Number seven for your thinking would be affirm your kids. Father, you are one of the most, if not the most important person in your kid's life. Most of you know I've been associated in years past with the Bill Glass Prison Ministry, and I've been in over 300 prisons in America. And I've noticed as a result of that, and I've also noticed, you ever watch on TV, you watch a camera that pans over a prison yard or over a sports event and so forth, and how many people are saying, "Hi, Mom, hi, Mom, hi, Mom." You know why? They don't have a dad. The dad up and left. And so they don't have the most important person in their life. You've got to tell and show your kids that you love them by being there. You've got to build them up. They must develop a good self-image as a result of you. Because if you don't, the world will tear them down. Number eight that I would suggest for your thinking is that you must be spiritually dependent. Turn, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 3. It's page 868 in your companion Bible. Proverbs chapter 3. You must be spiritually dependent. Chapter 3, verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart, so thou shalt find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." Strange thing is, that direct your paths, that's exactly the same wording as 2 Timothy 2:15. He will rightly divide your path. 2 Timothy 1:7. Page 1809, 2 Timothy 1:7, "You must be spiritually dependent. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." We do not have a spirit of fear. We have power in this word, and you as a father are responsible, according to the scripture, to see to it that your children understand. You're not out there on a limb alone. If you set it as your priority, high on your list of priorities, if you keep your attitude good, if you love your wife, if you do these things, you affirm your children, you discipline them in love, you will produce a good quality product. And God will have confidence in you like He did in Abraham. Let's take a look at Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. Let's see what he says about Abraham in verse 19. For I know him, I know Abraham, he says, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. I realize that this is a little different than what we normally study here at the Bible Forum, but I just felt like it was important to stress this role that you young, particularly young fathers here, have with your children. It's a tough assignment, but I believe if you'll listen to these things that the Scripture says, that you will be successful. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we are grateful to you as our Heavenly Father. We are thankful for the leadership that we have through your Son, through the written word. Lord, we just pray that here at the Bible Forum, you will continue to give us open hearts and open minds that we may truly study and know your good and perfect will. Lord, I thank you for each that's here today. We ask that you would continue to use us to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. For it's in Christ's name that I pray. Amen.